Kreider to Zibanejad, the hat trick.
Zibanejad takes it away and scores. What a play by Mika Zibanejad.
Threw it in front, deflected. McDavid, a shot, scores. Connor McDavid, that's his 21st.
Rantanen down the near wing. Rantanen holds, shoots, scores. The Moose is loose.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, everybody, and welcome into another episode of Our Line Starts, fueled by Dunkin'. I've got Dominic Moore and Brian Boucher joining me for today's podcast. What's up, gentlemen? How's it going?
Hey, KT, how you doing? Boosh, good to see you.
Yeah, great to be with you guys. I'm in my garage, so I apologize. You guys got a nice, well, maybe Dom doesn't have a nice backdrop, yeah, but you do, KT.
I'm in the utility closet, as usual.
I'm back in the utility closet. That's my spot.
Boosh, you got your sticks out there, I see. Have you gotten out to swing a few clubs in the last couple days? We've got spring-like temperatures in the Northeast.
I haven't yet. I actually hung on tight to winter. I did some skiing last week, so I, you know, got that in before it gets too warm. But, yeah, I got to dust the dust off those sticks right there, get them going. Yeah, it's beautiful here in South Jersey, that's for sure.
Yep, I hear you. Awesome. Okay, we're turning the corner. We got good weather coming. The vaccines are out. I see the light at the end of the tunnel here. And speaking of light at the end of the tunnel, guys, Mika Zibanejad finally got out of the darkness of not scoring goals for the New York Rangers. Boosh, you had a front row seat last week at Madison Square Garden to witness history. Mika Zibanejad, 6 points against the Flyers. It was unbelievable. The hat trick, the game-winning goal against Washington then the following day. He's starting to heat up. How important is that going to be for this New York Rangers team?
Huge. I mean, you think about what he did last year in the second half. I mean, he was maybe the hottest player in the National Hockey League, 41 goals. And every time he had the puck, offense was created, and you just sensed that good things were going to happen. And, you know, this year, much different. He seemed to lose confidence. I know the fact that he, you know, probably didn't get to his training regimen like he had in years past due to COVID and wasn't able to put the work in maybe that he wanted to. He was down 10 or 15 pounds from what we understand. And then he got COVID during training camp. So that set him back. You know, this Ranger team, I think it relies heavily, obviously, on Artemi Panarin. But, you know, make no mistake, that top line center with Mika Zibanejad creates a top six that I think is a formidable top six in the National Hockey League. And when he's not scoring, it's a big hole in their lineup. Now, having said that, I think his game started to really make strides in the last couple of weeks. The chances have been there. Yeah, he's missed them, and you could tell that there was a lack of confidence at times, but his legs seemed to be there. He was on pucks. His jump was there. You know, there was just a lot more being created by Zibanejad getting in on the forecheck, and you just had a sense that, you know, this was about to break out. I don't think anybody would have anticipated a six-point period, but for the New York Rangers, a great sign that he's scoring, and the hope is that this will catapult him here in the second half.
Yeah, for me, I mean, it's just been a weird year for a lot of people. As we all know, there's so many extenuating circumstances, the way the season started. Boosh, you referenced maybe his preparation just wasn't the same as what it was. And that was the big question in New York. They're trying to figure out how to get him going. But if you look around the league, like there's other guys that have been having the same problem. I mean, you look at a guy like Adam Henrique in Anaheim, led their team in scoring last year, really, really slow start to the point where he was scratched, you know, healthy scratch multiple games in a row. And you've got guys like Evgeny Malkin, who had an extremely slow start to the season. You know, Mika was not alone in that. And I give a little bit of credit to David Quinn for kind of sticking with him throughout that, trying to, you know, maintain a bit of positivity. It was hard because in New York, with the expectations on Mika, as you said, one of the best players in the entire league last season, the spotlight of New York City, I think that just kind of like snowballed on him. And when he had his slow start, all of a sudden he starts to feel that pressure, and then he can't even get a one-timer off. And, you know, he starts to play tentatively. You could see it on his face. Just the confidence wasn't there. His eyes were down. You know, you could see it in between whistles on the bench. And then, you know, you look at the game-winning goal he orchestrates against Washington, and he's a physical force. He just shoves Brendan Dillon off the puck, takes it, and shelves it. I mean, that is an assertive, confident guy. And I couldn't be happier for him that he's been able to come through that. And that's, to me, that's the mark of a great player is everyone, you know, everyone has a down moment, but it's how you respond to that, how you come through that, that I think proves your greatness. And really happy for Mika that he's found his game.
When you guys see a player like this break out of a slump, I mean, take me back to the days when you guys played and you maybe had a player on your team who was going through a similar situation. What does it do for the team when they do finally break through? And especially a player like Mika Zibanejad, who's relied on heavily. Dom, you talk about the pressure that's on him every single night. What is it like now for this team? Is this a turning point for the New York Rangers, having him going?
Well, I think it can be. You know, they're still a team that the results have been erratic. You know, regardless of, obviously Mika will be a huge help. And as Bush mentioned, him playing at a high level has a trickle-down effect throughout the lineup. So they're certainly hoping that it's a very competitive division, though. And you have to bring your A game every night. You know, they've had incredible results where they rout Philly, but you know, then they can go out and just be a different team, you know, a day or two later. That's a bit of the youth factor. You know, thinking about guys that have been in similar situations in the past, you know, Bush, I think of a guy like Rick Nash. When I was in New York, he was a guy that had a ton of expectations on him to be a scorer. And he went for a long stretch with really without producing any goals. He ended up being taken off the power play, which makes it even harder. You know, in the coaching staff's perspective, they were trying to kind of like lower his expectations, but sometimes a goal on the power play is what gets you going. And these scorers, you know, there's a significant amount of pressure there. And Nash was the kind of guy, though, that he would get one, then he would score, you know, in bunches. He would get 10 in the next five games, or, you know, 10 in the next seven games. And that's just the way it was for him.
Yeah.
So I think that all score those kind of streaks and flashes.
I can't recall in my career, KT or Dom, a player having a drought kind of like that. I mean, when you consider the 41 goals he had last year, the chances he was getting, and Dom made reference to the missed shots. I mean, the one-timers that he was missing. I mean, it was so noticeable. It almost made you wonder if there was an injury there that, you know, we weren't aware of, or maybe it's just a complete lack of confidence. But, you know, I will say the one thing, just in my career, like, you know, the way when I played, and there were times when things didn't go my way, the importance of sticking to your process and your preparation is so key. I mean, I think if you just I know the game is a result-oriented business, and that's what we look at. That's what fans look at. They want goals. They want production. But, you know, individually, you have to make sure that you're doing the right things and make, you know, and if he was behind the eight ball with his training and then having COVID and all that, making sure that he gets up to speed. Right. And I think you can see that the work was put in, because as Dom referenced, that battle that he won against Washington against, a heavy defenseman and Brendan Dillon and scoring, and you could see the jump in his leg. Clearly, he's been putting the work in, and now you're starting to see him starting to round into form. Can he continue it? I don't know. It's a tough division. I'm not sure where the Rangers go from here. They're young guys, clearly at times seem overwhelmed. Guys like Lafreniere and Kako, it's still a fast league for them. And when I look at their team, there's not a ton of depth scoring. I know Hedl shows at times. I think he's a good player, and I think he's ready to bust out at any moment. But those two young wingers, I think, are still in their growing phases. And the thing is that they're a top six team. And if Zibanejad simply is not producing, I don't know that they have enough offense to compete with some of these top four teams in the East.
Yeah, and some of the top teams in the East right now are also dealing with their own bit of adversity. You guys, you look at the New York Islanders, one of the best teams in the league this season. They've been so fun to watch. They are led by their captain, Anders Lee, who every single night gives it 110%. And unfortunately, he's now out, a season-ending injury with a ACL. This is just devastating for the Islanders, but they do have a lot of depth. Can they still be a playoff team without their captain in the lineup, Dom? I mean, is this a team that can rally and win the East?
I think they can, and the reason is Barry Trotz. I just think Barry Trotz is the best coach in the NHL right now. There's a lot of great coaches, but I think what he's been able to do with the Islanders is just incredible. Obviously, they lose John Tavares, and then they bring in Barry Trotz, and they're a better team than they were. I mean, I think that speaks volumes about Trotz. And they're a true team. They get production from their fourth line. They get production from these young guys like Oliver Wahlstrom on their third line. You know, I just think that Barry Trotz is the glue that holds that team together, regardless of who's in or out. Having said that, I think we're looking at a situation where Lou Lamoriello knows that he does need to add something. And with Lee out, he has the ability to do that with the cap space. Mm-hmm. The normally very secretive Lou Lamoriello was actually pretty open about it. He said that we are definitely looking for a scoring winger. And so I think when Lou is that open about it, you can probably count on something happening. Now this season, it's a lot harder to kind of make trades than it used to be with the COVID protocols and all of that. So, but I would expect them to do something. There's guys like Ricard Raquel in Anaheim that are available. You might see someone like him, but you know, there's a lot of teams that are interested in him. So we'll see how that plays out. But Bush, I think that the Islanders team, they're a contender in my book, even without Lee.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm sorry, I lost you guys there for a second. I had a little freeze problem, but
got to get the Wi-Fi fixed there in your garage, Bush. Let's go.
I don't know what happened there. Yeah, I think it's a big hole, though, Dom. I mean, you know, who fills in there, right? I mean, I don't know if you mentioned if there was trade possibilities. I think this is a hole that has to be addressed. I mean, if this is not like you're out 6 weeks and you expect them to have back for playoffs, a big body that plays in those hard areas. And I know Barzal is a dynamic player on that top line with Jordan Eberle on his right side, but I feel like Anders Lee is such an important part to that top six, to that top line, just because of the way he plays. And you look at the division and you think of Washington and how big and strong their defense is, that's going to be a tough team to beat if you don't have that muscle there. I think they played Komarov there the last game on that top line. I don't think that's a long-term answer. You put one of the young kids, maybe a guy like Wahlstrom or something like that. You know, I would think that Barry Trotz would be less inclined to do something like that. So I think they have a tremendous team. I think their defense is very good. The structure that they play with allows their goaltenders to be factors in every single game because it's a predictable game for those goaltenders. They're not taxed with having to face A-plus chances on a nightly basis. And that's a positive. So their team is very predictable in that sense. But when it comes down to the nitty gritty, winning a best of seven series, I feel like this could be a big time hole for the Islanders. I wouldn't be surprised if Lou Lamoriello addresses it, just because he knows that it's a special year, a year that, you know, if you can just get by, that there's an opportunity when you get to that final four to maybe really make a run for this. Big loss. I mean, he's a heck of a player, heck of a captain. You know, we'll see what they do as far as addressing this need.
They did make that move last year, trading a first rounder for Pageau, who ended up being a really good fit for them. So he's willing to do it. But I think Lou is also very mindful of that team chemistry element. I think he feels like that is the most important thing at the end of the day. So I think it really will have to be the right fit.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, and you look at that East Division, I mean, it's so tight. And by the way, the trade deadline coming up April 12th, that'll be here before we know it. But you look at the East, you mentioned the Washington Capitals. They get Tom Wilson back in the lineup, which is a humongous boost. Ovi looks like he's just on fire right now, scoring goals and putting up big numbers for the Capitals. And then you look at the Penguins. They've also been playing well. They did just lose Evgeny Malkin, but things are looking good in Pittsburgh. So, you know, that's a tough division in the East. And also, so too is the North, guys. I want to talk about the tight races in the North. And look at the North Division odds presented by PointsBet. You've got the Toronto Maple Leafs leading the way at minus 200. Edmonton, though, I mean, they are right on their heels. Maple Leafs are slumping a little bit. You have to wonder, I mean, Boosh, can the Edmonton Oilers or perhaps another team in that North challenge the Toronto Maple Leafs?
I think they can. I think, to me, the Edmonton Oilers are a team that's really found their groove. That's a team that I think can challenge. You talk about a top six. The Oilers certainly have it. I don't know if they have the depth scoring. I don't know if they even need the depth scoring when you have guys like McDavid and Draisaitl leading the charge. But to me, since Mike Smith has come back and been healthy, it really seems to have settled down this Oiler team. And I don't want to make it all about goaltending, but he's a veteran guy who's been around a long time. He played for Dave Tippett in the past, so there's a familiarity there. And I think Koskinen was overwhelmed, truthfully, to be playing that many games consecutively. And I think it's just a real calming force to have a guy like Mike Smith there. I think the Edmonton Oilers are a team that's starting to play to their identity a little bit, and that could be a team that makes a push. Winnipeg has been solid as well. It's surprising to me, actually, the Winnipeg Jets, how well they've played big picture. I don't know if anybody else is going to challenge in that division. And for Toronto, yeah, they've hit a bump in the road. I think Matthews' injury is more significant than we probably think. I think that's affected his play. Freddie Anderson seems to be dealing with something right now, and his play has dipped as well. It could also be just the fact, I don't know, Don, what you think, but, you know, sometimes when you get out to a comfortable lead, you know, subconsciously the foot, you know, is taking off the gas a little bit. Maybe the urgency is not there on a nightly basis, and maybe this is a wake-up call that Toronto needs to kind of kickstart them. But, you know, they certainly haven't been the same team that we saw in the first, say, 10, 15 games.
Yeah, you also become the team that everybody's gunning for, right? I mean, everybody wants to beat the Leafs in that division because they were such a great team right out of the gate, and they were playing well, and for all those great reasons, Boosh. You look at a team, though, you know, the Canucks have been red hot. But also, I want to talk about Daryl Sutter's Calgary Flames right now. And Boosh, you played for Daryl Sutter. You know what he's all about. How much is his impact going to be felt in this team moving forward in the chances of trying to get them into a playoff position?
Yeah, it is an attention grabber for sure. He's, you know, you have coaches that are player coaches, and then you have guys that are the opposite. And I think Daryl, who has played before, he understands. Yeah, he understands the player's needs, but there's also an element of accountability there in the way he approaches things. And he wants it done a certain way. He wants his teams to be tough to play against. He wants his teams to defend hard. And he expects a lot out of his best players. And I think that's what's been missing in Calgary now for the last little bit. And I think it's going to, you know, it there's two ways that this can go. It either can wake up guys like a Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, to really pick their game up and lead the charge because they are leaders on this team, or they can kind of wilt and go away. And I don't think there's any in between. The one key in all of this is that Mark Giordano was a guy that played for Daryl Sutter before. He knows exactly what Daryl is all about. He can be a good go-between the players who have never seen this before and a guy that has been there before. And I think Giordano is a terrific captain. I think he's a terrific leader. And I think he's going to be a way to kind of like help soften maybe the message a little bit, but also make these guys understand that there has to be much better for Calgary. That's a team, like when I say Winnipeg, I'm surprised big picture where they are. That's where I expected Calgary to be going into this season.
Well, you look at the Calgary Flames, I mean, they're only 4 points back of Winnipeg. And, you know, they do have a lot of hope. They have a lot of promise. I mean, Dom, this North Division has been a little tricky lately to figure out because it looked like all four teams were kind of set for the whole first half of and half plus of the season. Now you're starting to see some other teams creeping in and maybe a shift of momentum with the top teams in the North.
I mean, this North Division has been impossible to predict. I mean, you've got okay, let's take some of the results already. You've got Edmonton that's 7-0 against Ottawa. They've just routed them. I think McDavid and Draisaitl have like 60 points collectively against Ottawa alone. And then the Leafs come in and they sweep Edmonton three straight games. McDavid doesn't have a point. And then the Leafs go out and lose to Ottawa. So it just doesn't make any sense. Bush referenced a lot of kind of these ups and downs that the teams are going through. I think a lot of guys are potentially playing with injuries that are more significant than we realize. Right now, for me, the Leafs goaltending is the number one question. They're 1-6, you know, in this last stretch. That's only better than Buffalo in the entire league in terms of record. But they've outchanced their opponents for a lot of those games. So they've got to right that goaltending ship in Toronto, but I still think, you know, Edmonton's probably going to be the team to beat. They're starting to hit their stride. Bush referenced Mike Smith. I think not only is he playing well, but the way he moves the puck for Edmonton, he's the best puck-moving goalie in the league. He's like having another puck-moving defenseman back there to get the puck into the hands of guys like McDavid and Draisaitl. He's a real asset, so I would expect if something's predictable that they're going to continue to rise to the top.
Are any of these teams, though, in the North a serious cup contender? We know who the teams throughout the league are that are actually really going to vie for the Stanley Cup. Do you see anybody in the North being a legit Stanley Cup contender?
Well, I would say typically no, KT, but considering the year that we're in and how crazy it is and who knows with COVID issues that can pop up and what your lineup could look like come, we'll call it the Final Four, because I don't think it's called a conference final this year. Who knows? I mean, it's really hard to predict. I would think that if you're talking about, you know, say you have to play, and I'm not sure how it shakes out in the Final Four, but like say you have to play the winner of Vegas or Colorado in the conference final. I think that's a tough matchup against any of the Canadian teams, the Northern teams. You know, but if you get a team like in the Eastern Division, maybe you get a banged up Washington club or a banged up Pittsburgh team that gets through, perhaps. I mean, there's a chance that you get to the final. I mean, I think that Edmonton has made strides. I agree with Dom. I think for Toronto, goaltending is a huge issue. And if you think of Freddie Anderson, he's had this stigma that he hasn't been able to win the big game. And in the key moment, he's continually faltered. And that will follow him until he finds a way to get through that. But if, say, he does get through that and he starts to win in that first round and it snowballs in that direction, I think Toronto is a very good team. And if Matthews can get healthy and get back to his scoring that he did before. I think a key part for the Maple Leafs to me is a guy like Nylander, good in the regular season. I don't know if he has what it takes in the playoffs to be a guy that you can count upon. I mean, there's an element to his game that seems to be perimeter at times, and I don't know that translates come playoff time. But if he can figure it out, maybe Toronto is for real. So I'm not ready to ride any of these Northern teams, write them off by any stretch, because it's just too crazy a year to predict things.
Yeah, I would agree in terms of the predictability, because you have to remember there's so many factors that play into it. Yeah, I think the North Division isn't playing playoff style hockey. Now with Daryl Sutter coming in, I think there's another team that is playing that more kind of like give nothing up defensive style. I think that actually will be good for those top teams. That, you know, I still don't think Calgary is going to make up that ground to get in, but I think it'll be good for those teams like Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Toronto to play a team that's playing that style of game, because the North right now is really just a shootout every night. But let's say, like Bush says, in the conference finals, you have a well-rested North team against a real banged-up East team that's been through the gauntlet in the first two rounds. Well, we're talking about a completely different perspective at that point. So the predictability this year is just out the window. We have no idea what's going to happen.
Sorry, I was on mute there, guys. I was trying to block out the New York City sirens, and I realized I was still on mute. So, man, we're just all over the place here with this Our Line podcast this week. But we'll get it together. You'd think after a year of doing Zooms, we knew what we were doing. But let's talk about the predictability factor for the Central Division, because this division to me is very fascinating to watch, including the other Florida team, the Florida Panthers. I mean, do the Florida Panthers have enough firepower and juice to dethrone the Tampa Bay Lightning for the best team in Florida right now, guys?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm amazed at where they are already. I mean, I looked at their lineup before the season started, and there's a lot of names that you just, hey, these guys are unproven. Guys like Carter Verhaeghe, and, you know, he played a fourth line grinding role with Tampa, but then you take him out of that kind of grinding role where he's playing, you know, 11 minutes a night, and you give him opportunity, all of a sudden he starts to find a rhythm and he's producing really well in Florida. You know, I just think Joel Quenneville is the real deal. Obviously his Hall of Fame track record speaks for itself, and you can never underestimate the job that a good coach can do, even with a lineup that maybe you don't think stacks up. I mean, we already talked about Barry Trotz. They lose Tavares, and all of a sudden they're a better team when Barry Trotz comes in. I think Joel Quenneville is the reason for Florida's success. But when you look at Tampa, I mean, this team without Nikita Kucherov is still dominating the league. So, Boosh, I think they're in tough against those guys.
I agree with you, Dom, on that one. And I think, you know, going into this season, the Central Division, I you thought Tampa was going to run away and maybe go 50-6 on the season is what I thought when I looked at the start of the season. I thought Carolina would be good as well, and they'd have and they're right there. Florida is surprising, but when you really look back on it, you say, boy, if there's ever a division where maybe you could make some strides, it would be in this division. I think this is the one where there was some optimism. If you were a team that was on that bubble, if you were on the cusp, to have some belief that maybe this could be the year that we, you know, make a run deep into the playoffs. And, you know, the hope is to avoid Tampa in the first round, obviously. It was this division. And so I think Florida, in that regard, give them full credit. I mean, guys that have come in and done a fantastic – Barkov's been great. Huberto has been great. You know, and even when Bobrovsky was struggling, Driedger did a fantastic job in there and really providing solid goaltending. And you know, Ekblad has taken another step in his career. 25 years old, you know, this guy seems like he's been around forever, but really this guy's really heading into the prime of his career. And we're starting to see what I think a lot of people envision when he was drafted first overall. And, you know, the other thing too, you mentioned Carter Verhaeghe, a great story, you know, pushed down the lineup in Tampa, no opportunity, gets the opportunity in Florida. That's what it's all about. We saw Jonathan Marchessault do the same type of thing, Riley Smith do it in Vegas when they left Florida. But the thing that really stands out to me, you think back to the start of the season, all the, you know, the kerfuffle about Keith Yandel and was he going to be scratched? And I wonder how much of that had a role inside that locker room and galvanizing this team and getting a guy that is so well-liked inside that room to play hard for one another and to you know, that's an attention grabber, a guy that's on the cusp of breaking an NHL record. And here they are, they're gonna mess with him. Whether it came from upstairs in Bill Zito's office or from Joel Quenneville, it came from somewhere. Something was happening there where they were trying to get inside the heads of a group that may have been a little bit too comfortable for no reason to be comfortable other than the fact that they play in South Florida and the weather's nice. I mean, this has not been a team that's accomplished anything, you know? And, you know, they do that. And how far they're willing to go with it, were they really going to scratch him? I don't really know. We'll never know. But Keith Yandel handled it perfectly. I think the team responded and handled it perfectly. When you look at their power play, it's been very solid. Yandel feeding Aaron Ekblad. I mean, it's been a top power play in the National Hockey League and a reason for their success. And they're in a division, like I said, where you go into it, you're like, this division gives us hope. This is not the Eastern Division where there's five teams that you could say are supposed to be playoff teams. I looked at two teams, Tampa and Carolina. After that, it was a crapshoot.
And now we're all surprised looking at who else is a contender in that central. I mean, Columbus is inching up now on Chicago. Of course, Chicago, we've been talking about all season long. We'll see if they can sustain it. But yeah, central is an interesting conversation. No question about that, guys. Let's get to the cold brew check fueled by Dunkin'. Golden Knights and Avalanche, guys, both two of the top teams out west, both hitting their stride. Which team will keep it going in the second half and win the West? Dom, how about you kick us off?
For me, it's the Avs. I mean, the Avs are a team that I just feel like they play an incredible possession game. You look at the way that Joe Sakic has built that team. You've got incredible puck-moving defensemen on the back end. You know, they acquired Devon Taves, who extremely underrated player. They have guys like Bo Byram coming in, who's playing extremely well, really mobile D, not even mentioning, you know, Samuel Girard and Cale Makar. A lot of these guys have been out of the lineup with injuries throughout much of this season, and they're still finding a way to stay right at the very top or close to the top of that division. McKinnon was out for a few games. I mean, they're starting to get healthy again. I think that if you look at the remaining games of the schedule, I think Colorado has the weakest strength of schedule down the stretch. So to me, the Avs are the team to beat, although the one X factor is the goaltending. You compare the goaltending between Avalanche and Vegas, I think you got to give the edge to Vegas.
I'm going to make my best argument here for the Vegas Golden Knights, and I agree with everything that Dom said, and I think Colorado's a scary team right now. They're starting to find their game. They're filling the net, much like we probably anticipated to start the year. But to me, Vegas has been there before. They've been to the finals. I know they didn't win back in 2018, but this is a group that still has a large part of that group that has gone deep into the playoffs. And, you know, maybe the lack of experience on Colorado's end, on the back end, guys like Makar, guys like Byram, you know, even Sam Girard. I mean, these are guys that still may have to go through another layer to get to that next level. The expectations are super high on Colorado. And then you add in the fact that, you know, you've got two goaltenders that you can play in Vegas that I think provide an opportunity for Vegas to be the team that, when it comes to a best of seven series, sometimes it boils down to goaltending. And that may be the final deciding factor. I mean, look, I'm trying my best to give Vegas the push, but I think when you go down the middle, Colorado has the advantage. There's no doubt about it. When Chandler Stephen is your number one center in Vegas, I think most people would say that is a question mark. And it's no slight on Chandler Stephenson. I think he's a good player, but I don't know that he matches up like the number one center in Colorado, you know? So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Maybe the experience and a little bit of veteran leadership pays off for Vegas in the end, and their goaltending. The fact that they've got two guys, you can insert them at any moment, and they can win you a hockey game and can win you a series as well.
All right, that was the cold brew check fueled by Dunkin'. This season, be sure to grab a cold brew for game time, because where there's hockey, there's Dunkin'. And Bush, I know secretly you'd love to be back in Vegas for a cup final. That was one of the more fun trips we had in our career, covering the Stanley Cup final in Vegas. Not too bad. I think we lost Jonesy for a couple days, and we got him back.
I would love a repeat performance of Vegas. Let's do it again.
That's right. Let's hope we're all out on the road and things start to continue to move in the positive direction here. Well, Bush, Dom, great to be with you guys. Great conversation as always. And thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you next time on the next edition of Our Line Starts, fueled by Dunkin'.